plagued a potential nugget.
And just moving forward, Suresh, you worked across these three companies, and even in Nestle in the last decade, you've worked across Singapore, Egypt, Philippines, and India. I'm curious about how leaders should think about the first 3 to 6 months in a new culture, whether it's a new geography in the same company or a new company. Talk to us, having done multiple transitions, sure. What would you say, what are the 3-4 things which often get missed out? I guess there's a laundry list that everybody has. But talk to me about what are the things that people don't do enough that they should.
Number one is, I think, Deepak, I would really suggest prepare yourself. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of cross-cultural cross-wires happen when you are not well prepared. So I have, by preparation, I mean not only in terms of trying to read up a bit about where you're going to, what are the kinds of issues and challenges that those people face, but also develop the attitude of receptiveness. Mm-hmm. That I will not superimpose my cultural value sets on a group of people to whom that may be alien. Mm. So the preparation is in terms of understanding, and the preparation is in terms of having an open attitude. Okay. That I will look at the positives of what that culture offers, rather than making comparisons between this culture and my own culture. That's number one. Number two is, before you act, understand and assimilate. Mm-hmm. What happens to us is that, being operating managers for a better part of our lives, our immediate worry is, how do I get my next week's sales or my next quarter profits or whatever. Especially at senior management levels, it is important to step back and observe. So what I used to do in all the new situations is, I always walk around. Mm. I don't sit in my chair. I walk around the office. I walk around to the sites. I walk around where, talk to the common people. What are the kinds of things that interest you? What are the kind of things that bothers you? What suggestion would you give to make this company better? Mm. Right. Mm. I think there are ways in which you touch the lives of people. Mm. The minute you touch the lives of people, you as a leader do not become unreachable anymore. And in cultures which are fairly hierarchical, I mean, Egypt is pharaonic, very hierarchical culture. Singapore, meritocratic, but still very authority driven, right? Philippines, again, is very, very rigid in terms of the structural tenets of who's the boss and who's the subordinate. Mm. Thailand, similar. They are the monarchy, right? Mm. So they have a very strong sense of position, rank, and society. Mm. So if you are able to break that, then you get a very clear path. And in that first 3-6 months, if you are able to assimilate, understand, and then drop the 4 or 5 big issues that you will address, you will be more successful in the balance part of your stint than if you were to go there with a preconceived notion that these are the 4 things that I will do and launch into it. I think the preparation is where the issue is.
And how do you think about, that there's a point of view which says that there's sometimes merit in making 1 or 2 key visible decisions that signals that there's a new sheriff in town? How do you think about that, which sort of goes against the grain of assimilate, don't do anything, and before you make up your mind? How have you thought about that?
I would say, Deepak, for me, that is contextual. Mm-hmm. It is not a recipe. Mm-hmm. Let's say when I went to Singapore, I did not have to make any significant changes in the way in which the organization was working for the first couple of months.
Right.
And then, of course, we had the 2008 economic downturn.
Right.
At which time I had to make certain dramatic changes to the way in which the business was being conducted. But it gave me some time. In Egypt, on the other hand, the cultural nuance always has been that whenever there is a new leader, there will be 1 or 2 things that will change. And in that organization, I found that, for example, empowerment and speed were clearly issues. Mm-hmm. People were waiting to be told to do something because they didn't feel a sense of empowerment. And they always felt that, just like the Nile flowed perennially, that there's enough time to take enough decisions and there is no need for any speed and urgency. So I took 1 or 2 decisions that signaled that the new sheriff in town is interested in empowering you as leaders, and he's interested in speed. That, you know, he wants things to be done
from a signaling perspective.
From a signaling perspective. So for me, it is entirely contextual. When I came back to India, obviously I was in the thick of a crisis. There, a lot of signals had to be sent out.
Of course.
In order to ensure that the ship started to settle down a bit.
Got it. Fair enough. And and specifically in a consumer goods context, I guess you need to understand, it's not just about settling into the company, it's about understanding the nuances of consumer behavior. So how do you do that when you transition from one culture to another? How do you pick up that, when you grew up in India, so I think some of the Indian consumer behavior comes naturally, but when you're moving to a new geography, is there a sort
of... Look, I think one of the things, Deepak, that I get from probably a functional exposure and competence that I've built up, I spent a fair many years of my career in sales. So I was used to, and I love to, walk the markets. And I still believe, and I still do that every month. I am out for almost 10, 15 days. I travel. And when I travel to either our factories or I travel to our markets.
Right.
And I walk. I was last week in Port Blair. I was there in one of the islands to look at how we were distributing and what we were doing there. The best way of assimilating is by seeing. You know, the reports are there, the presentations are there, you know, Nestle is full of it and I will get it. I know it, I don't have to ask for it.
Right.
But for me, walking the markets automatically gives you the window to the consumer. What is it that the shopper is looking for? So when I walked the streets of Cairo or Luxor or any of those places, or I walked in Singapore, right, I could pick up the kind of products, the kind of shelves, the kind of retailer reactions, the kind of position that they kept Nestle in as far as the shop was concerned. All these, with experience, you're able to pick up the signals very quickly.
Got it.
And then you come, and for me, the presentations that I got were more confirmatory in some cases.
Understood. Not the main source of data.
So for me, it's always been that if you are really with your feet on the ground and you walk the markets, talk to your salesman. I mean, you know, some of the greatest lessons I have picked up in management have been for my salesmen. They have taught me pricing, trade promotions, activations, right? New brand launches, support, leadership, right? Managing distributors in crisis. These are the guys, you know, they are, you know, we have to be humbled by the fact that these guys may have much less education than you, but that's unfortunately the accident of birth and opportunity. But they have a lot of wisdom. And for me, I always respect them. Because they are the ones who run this company.
Of course. Of course. The other aspect of transition I wanted to talk about, Suresh, was what a predecessor can do in setting a successor up. For example, if let's say you're moving from, was it from Singapore you moved to India? Or was it?
Philippines.
Philippines.
Yeah.
Let's say as you were leaving Philippines, how should leaders think about setting the next incumbent for success?
You know? Unfortunately, I mean, I must say that Philippines for me is not a good example because I was there for barely 4 months.
Of course, but you know what I'm saying.
If I would look at it, let's say in my experience in Egypt and Singapore before that, what always concerns me, Deepak, is not the nuance of leadership, but the capability of embedding and internalizing the practices into continuity.
Sorry, please.
Yeah? Yeah. So internalizing best practices, internalizing the good processes for the future is what I always try and focus on. So let's say even in Nestle India, what I've been trying to now work through with my team is through a program where basically what we do, we call it Rise Together. So Rise Together initiative really focuses on four big themes: on the purpose of the organization, on the caring part of the organization, on the learning part of the organization, and on the order and process part of the organization. So we have different teams now. As a result of what happened to us in the crisis, and as a result of our rising like a phoenix, what are the practices, what are the disciplines, what are the good things that we can disseminate within the organization so that long after I cease to be the leader of this company, that some of it at least continues. For me, the agony of leadership And that's the agony of many shareholders, is that suddenly you get a good leader, things start booming. And after that, you get an indifferent guy and everything comes down.
It's a person-specific thing.
Yeah. It's a person-specific thing. And that is the tragedy. If you look at organizations, that is where things go wrong. You know, I have not come across, and you are better read than me, Deepak, so you'll know it better. Seldom have companies failed because of absolutely stupid strategies.
Hmm.
They have failed because of two things: leadership translating to execution.
Yeah.
And I always believed that strategy is execution.
Hmm.
You know, for me, the strategy part is a simple part. The execution is the bigger piece.
Got it.
The biggest takeaway for me was the point Suresh makes about his style being completely contextual. I see so many people coming up with prescriptive lists for the first 90 to 100 days that I get a little anxious when people are too sure too early. What also struck me was the point Suresh makes about walking the market. He talks about that in the context of getting a pulse of the local culture and consumer behavior, especially in a B2C business context. In a way, I guess this comes naturally to people who've spent adequate time in the sales function. But when I look at leaders who move to the CEO or general manager role from the finance function or the marketing function, this piece doesn't come intuitively often to them, and this ends up getting deprioritized. Apart from learning about the business and getting a pulse of the consumer, I guess there's something to be said about building relationships and having organizational sensors across the company. Walking the market, I've noticed, also gives the leaders a unique insight into the culture of the company and a channel for them to glean what's going on at the ground as and when required. This piece of my conversation reminds me of my chat with Vinita Bali a few months back. Vinita has had the distinction of working in 6 countries across 5 continents. Among other things, she spoke about how she settles into a new geography.
I think if you spend the first few days curious, listening, not jumping to conclusions, you know, we tend to get very judgmental very quickly. I think if you spend the first few days as a tourist in a place, which is really about, as a tourist, you're exploring, you know, you're curious, you want to read about this, that, and the other. So if you spend those first few days more like a tourist, more from the point of view of understanding and not judging, more from a curiosity orientation rather than I have the answers. And more from the point of view of really knowing that you are the new kid on the block.
Right.
You know, your hiring manager may have hired you, but none of the others, you know, owe you anything. I think if you find that level of acceptance, and I learned it when I went to new countries. I mean, you know, what did I know about consumers in Nigeria? What did I know about consumers in South Africa? And you have to very quickly go and figure out what that model of collaboration or cooperation is going to be.
Mm.
And I think if there is that attention paid, including to some of the softer things, this is not a task-oriented framework.
If this is of interest, please go to nugget16.06 at playtopotential.com. You might also find my conversation with Nandan Nilekani relevant, as he spoke about multiple transitions: Infosys to UID, UID to fighting elections in Bangalore, and then to being an enabler in the fintech ecosystem. Unfortunately, I had the conversation with him before he transitioned back to chairmanship at Infosys. Thank you for listening. If you're new to the podcast and want to get a sense of the nature of the content that's covered, you might want to go to YouTube and type Play to Potential Highlights from 2017. I've tried to capture the key takeaways from our various conversations last year with leaders across disciplines, from people such as Zia Modi, Nandan Nilekani, Vishy Anand, Vijay Amritraj, Vinita Bali, Amish Tripathi, and the like. For more, please visit playtopotential.com, where you can access the content by speaker or look at curated playlists across speakers by theme. If you want to listen offline, say during a car ride home or during airplane travel, you could also access the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Saavn, and some of the other podcast apps.